Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information, and then on to our callers on the web, equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Anyone listening to the broadcast for any period of time is well aware of the fact that December is the month we typically catch up. In other words, through much of the year, we do deficit spending. It's just the way it works. And then around the Christmas season, people generously give to the ministry. We catch up, and then we go into the same kind of cycle again. Of course, our prayer is always that the cycle can be broken. And that is what happens when people stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. Please give generously this month. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And I hope many of you will consider as well becoming monthly CRI support team members. When you do, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of any one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. There is no time like today to stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth with this ministry. You think about the misinformation and disinformation that is being communicated, not only in the secular media, but also in the Christian media. I hear it on Christian radio. I hear it on Christian television. It seems that people in concert are singing from the same song sheet. People are saying that Islam is a religion of peace. I addressed that yesterday. They say that it is a tolerant religion. But we should never forget that from the time of Muhammad, Muslims have tried to conquer the Christian world. And that has been a steady progression from the 7th century, really to the time of the 17th century, 1683. When the Muslim menace was halted in Europe at the gates of Vienna. But again, it has started with a vengeance. I suppose an epic point is the Manhattan Massacre, September 11, 2001. But there have been many other such moments in history. Think about Muslim armies taking North Africa, the Middle East, Asia Minor, Spain. In fact, by the end of the 11th century, Islam had captured two-thirds of the Christian world. And that includes Palestine, the home, the birthplace of Jesus Christ himself. Egypt, the birthplace of monasticism. Asia Minor, where you had the first great Christian communities, communities that are talked about in the book of Revelation, which themselves endured the epicenter of a Caesar cult. I think all too often we remember current history, if at all, but forget that less than a century ago, Muslims conquered Smyrna, that too, one of the great cities of Asia Minor. A mass slaughter taking place in that city. And perhaps many of you are familiar with what happened to Greek Orthodox Metropolitan Chrysostomus. As a priest, he stayed with his flock. He could have escaped with his life, but he didn't. He considered his life not worthy even unto death. And so the Muslim mobs dragged him through the streets of the Turkish quarter. They beat him. They kicked him. And even as he raised his right hand to bless his persecutors, saying, Father, forgive them, the Turkish furious cut off his right hand and then hacked him to pieces. The carnage culminating in September 11 with the burning of Smyrna. Again, one of the most epic massacres. If you read the details, they're so gory. Honestly, I don't want to share them with you on Christian radio. But again, I'm sure many of you as Christians know your history and know about this incredible massacre. But I say that to let people know that while there are so many in the Christian world today that think that we're going to escape the tribulations of this world, the reality is, no, we are in this world going to have tribulation. But take heart, Christ has overcome the world. So when we stand together, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth, we're doing so because history hinges on the faithfulness of Christians. Moreover, the eternal destiny of multitudes hinges on whether or not we can discern the signs of the times. It hinges on our faithfulness to stand in the battle for life and truth. So again, I'm asking people to stand with me. If you are familiar with our ministry, we never pull any punches. We don't do what we do for the sake of political correctness. If you hear the refrain, it is sung over and over again. It's untrue. And the fact that politicians and pundits and even preachers are communicating it doesn't make it so. We need to know our history so that we do not repeat our history, so that we might be faithful. Again, I'm asking people to stand with this ministry at an epic time in history. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. A lot of you are already hanging on. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up is Adam. He's listening in Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi.
How are you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call, sir.
You're welcome.
I got a question here. I'm wondering what you think about Mike Bickle and his International House of Prayer.
Yeah, it is a real sad thing that someone like Mike Bickle can have the kind of influence that he has over Christians, which is to say there are people who are not grounded in the faith once for all delivered to the saints, who buy in uncritically to this counterfeit revivalist. I wrote about him in great detail in my book, Counterfeit Revival. We also did a feature article in the Christian Research Journal on the ministry and the teachings of Mike Bickle, but this is not a credible Christian leader. Rather, this is a counterfeit revivalist. And again, I think that we ought to be aware of the fact that he envisions the end-time front-runner church to be an advanced apostolic movement. And believes that this advanced apostolic movement is going to do greater things than the apostles themselves. And we must ever more be aware of the fact that the apostles were the cornerstone or the foundation properly put of the Christian church, with Jesus Christ himself the cornerstone. And yet Bickle emphasizes that during the end times, the miracles of the prophets in the Old Testament, the miracles of the book of Acts, will be multiplied on a global level as the Church of God looses God's judgments upon the earth. And this is delusional at best, but certainly not biblical. Again, an article in the Christian Research Journal that deals with that you can find online at equip.org.
All right, sir. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike. He's listening in Cottontown, Tennessee, Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing? I just had a question today about... I ran into a group of street preachers recently while I was out on the streets doing that myself. Something I've heard about, but I've never ran into personally, and they're what I would call sinless perfectionists. They preach a gospel that you must become perfect in this body of flesh and thought, word, and deed, or you are cast into hell, which is true, except for they're rejecting that we're declared legally perfect by the atonement of Christ and not by our own works. And so I was just kind of curious if you might be able to address that for the benefit of the people listening in case they run into it, and also address how we're supposed to respond to that. And some verses that are coming into my head are verses such as, if anybody brings to a false gospel, let them be accursed. And like 2 John, I believe it's 8 and 9, not to even invite them into your home or to give them God's seed.
Yeah, or think about
that.
Sure, or think about 1 John 1. If we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Of course, willful sin should not characterize our lives, but sin does remain a part of the human experience. And that is true until the time that we die. From that time, or from the time that Jesus Christ appears a second time. But who in the meantime can say, as Solomon put it, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin. There is not one among us who can make that statement. The reality is that we sin every single day in thought, word, and deed. And that's why just a few moments ago before I went on the air, I was praying. And one of the things I pray before I come on the air is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. I ask the Lord to blot out my transgressions because every day I sin. And it is certainly true that we are on the road of sanctification. We are being conformed to the image of Christ by the power of Christ. But we will never be perfect in this world. Paul himself could cry out, O wretched man that I am. So this is not a credible doctrine, although it is a popular doctrine in some quarters. It is not sinless perfectionism. It is perfect sin to hold to such a notion. It is, again, as I was talking about with respect to some of the false teachers in the church, it is delusional. Anyone in the quietness of his own room recognizes the sinfulness of his own heart. And again, it is one of the reasons that I pray continuously that God will forgive me, a sinner. I realize that the righteousness of Christ is not my right, but it is my hope. It is His righteousness by which I can come into the presence of God in the first place. If I were merely dressed in the filthy robes of my own self-righteousness, I wouldn't even presume to pray. But I'm covered by the righteousness of Christ, and therefore I can not only pray, but I can go into His presence and call Him Abba, Father. I can pray the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. Remember in that prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We trespass every single day. Again, to To doubt that is simply to live on the plains of delusion. We're coming to station break. As we go to break, remember again that this is a very critical month in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We're now ending 2015. Anything you can do to stand with us in the battle for life and truth will be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. On the web as well, you can see the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe there. You can also subscribe to a free publication, the Christian Research Newsletter. The newsletter of the ministry is an important oracle. It'll come out to you free of charge. Check it out on the web at equip.org. You can also upload the CRI app, listen to archived broadcasts, answers to questions, much, much more. All of that on the app. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Apologetics, the defense of the faith, is a handmaiden of evangelism and a vital partner of discipleship. With it, the Christian can engage and graciously disarm the generally naive and caricatured objections of skeptics. Without it, one will be unable to withstand the rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. To enable the Christian Research Institute to continue producing quality apologetics resources, accessible worldwide, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. both at home and abroad, multitudes of Christians, due largely to limited biblical literacy and no understanding of apologetics, are being taken in by well-funded and aggressive cults. This Christmas, as we rejoice in the birth of the one who came that we might have eternal life, we invite you to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank and the Christian Research Institute so that God's truth in Christ can be a brilliant beacon of light to those in spiritual and intellectual darkness. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Jerry, listening in St. Louis, Missouri, on Butt Radio. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Hank. Really enjoy your show. Bless you for your work. My question, Hank, on Thanksgiving, I met a new Christian, and she had a question for me I couldn't answer. She was curious if Christ was actually born in the month of December.
Well, we don't know what month Jesus Christ was born in. In fact, we don't even know for certain the day, the year in which Jesus Christ was born. We know that he was born before the death of Herod the Great, who died in 4 BC, that he was born when the first census took place during the time of Quirinius, who was then governor of Syria, which was around 7 or 6 BC, and therefore the time of Christ's birth is between those dates. But we do not know the exact day that Jesus Christ was born, nor even the year. We only have parameters, and that's as close as we can get. The reason that we celebrate, or a lot of Christians celebrate, on December 25th, is because the Romans of the time celebrated a particular festival, because they thought this was the time in which Sol Invictus, the unconquerable sun, was just about in the act of turning around to aim northward once again. So it is a pagan festival that was being practiced, and Christians did not participate in the pagan festival, but instead initiated a rival celebration. And that is why we celebrate Christmas on December 25th. Now, a lot of Christians, as I alluded to, don't celebrate on December 25th, and the reason they do not is they recognize that Christmas, once again, has become a pagan holiday, and they don't want to engage in the paganism of the season. On the other hand, there are other Christians that say, no, let us do the same thing that the early church did. Let us establish a rival celebration. Let us use this time to point to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, who came in time and space, took on the nature of a human, and did what the first Adam could not do. So we celebrate that, and we use all of the things that so often have become, again, paganized as opportunities to communicate the truth and the life that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. So we look at a Christmas tree, and we say, this is emblematic of everlasting life, evergreen, everlasting life. So we use it as an opportunity. So whether we celebrate or don't celebrate, use every opportunity to proclaim that Christ not only came, but Christ has risen indeed.
Okay, I appreciate that, Hank. I had never heard that question answered before, and I really didn't know if there was an answer. I thought perhaps Josephus, the Jewish historian, may have said something. And I have one more quick question, Hank. You were talking about the Muslim faith earlier. Where would I find a book that could tell me about the history that you were speaking of?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of books that are unfortunately very, very suspect out in popular consumption in the Christian world today. I just read a new release by a fairly well-known Christian, and the mistakes are mind-numbing. And so oftentimes to read good resources about the history of Islam, you have to go back in time a bit. There's a book that was written a number of years ago called The Sword of the Prophet. It was written by Sergei Trifkovic, and this is a book that is very, very credible in terms of the history of Islam. But there are many things that you can find that spell out what happened from the time of Muhammad. Of course, he was involved in pretty significant slaughters himself. But from the time of Muhammad to the encroaching Muslim menace of the Muslim world from the 7th century on through the 17th century, as I mentioned at the opening of the show, one of the most famous dates in history, of course, is September 11, 1683. And that was when the Muslim menace was finally halted at the gates of Vienna by the King of Poland. So I guess most Christians know about that, but because it's such a popular date and also corresponds to September 11, 2001. But this is not to say that there weren't huge atrocities that were continuing to happen at the hands of Islamic terrorists. And again, at the opening of the show, I mentioned one of them, and that was what happened in Smyrna. Again, I mentioned that because most Christians would be familiar with Smyrna from the Bible and therefore familiar with the history of what happened when it was burned to the ground less than a century ago. The date, I think, was September 13, 1922. So these are dates that are emblazoned in the minds of most Christians, but every now and then, good to bring them up, because a lot of people have sort of a misconception of history. You know, you talk about the Crusades, and you have a particular idea of the Crusades as though this was the main and the thing, plain thing that happened. You know, the Christians going into Muslim territories and creating carnage. Don't understand what precipitated the Crusades. Why the Crusades happened in the first place. In fact, most people can't even date the Crusades. So I think the question that you're asking is a very important question, and unfortunately, there aren't many contemporary books that are out in the marketplace right now that I can recommend. There's one that I was hoping I could recommend, but was perplexed as I read through it to see how many errors it had. So not much good has been written lately.
Okay, well, I'll try to find the Sword of the Prophet then, Hank. Thank you so very much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Roger. He's listening on Sirius XM 131 in New York. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Doing well.
All right, great. Love your show. Love your show.
Thank you.
God bless you. I had a question. I'm seeing a lot of leaders in the church giving themselves the title of apostle. And I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Well, I think that it is problematic in many, many cases. The reason is, as I mentioned to a previous caller, there are people like Mike Bickle who believe that the apostles and the prophets of our generation are greater than biblical prophets and biblical apostles, and that is sheer delusion. So in that sense, we should not take on the moniker prophet or apostle, but there is a sense in which those words can be used. Apostle can be used in the sense of a church planter or a missionary or a pastor of pastors. Prophet may be used in the sense of a leader who inspires the church with vision for its mission or who challenges the church to deeper commitment to Christ. But again, the word should never be used in a synonymous sense with the first century Apostle John or the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah or Moses. These are unique people in the history of humanity, very much like Mary was unique in the history of humanity. But there was a fullness of time in which Mary birthed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Imagine one human being given that incredible privilege. What a human being she must have been. Or what a credible human being Moses must have been. Or Jeremiah. Or Isaiah. Of course, all of these people had their own warts, moles, and wrinkles. You think of Isaiah in chapter 6, gets one glimpse of the glory of God and is utterly undone. Oh, what a wretched man I am, echoes Paul many centuries later, recognizing that though he is the apostle to the Gentiles, who in the end wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, yet recognizes in the splendor of the righteousness of God how utterly depraved he is. And we all must recognize that reality. But nonetheless, those prophets were the cornerstone, the foundation of the Christian church, Christ being the cornerstone. And that foundation is not being laid and relaid over and over again in modern times. So those who are considering themselves super apostles, and I've actually heard some of them say that where Moses or Paul or Jeremiah or Isaiah to appear on the planet today, all of these prophets and apostles would simply stand in a long line and wait to get their autograph. Now, how could they say that? Well, they say that because they think that the works, the deeds that they're going to do will far surpass anything that the apostles and the prophets in biblical times did. And that, again, to reuse the word, is quite simply delusional. The prophets and the apostles were authenticated by their miracles. They were authenticated by the fact that they were able to say through the auspices of God Himself what would happen in the future. And as a result of the apostles and prophets, we can trust that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. Their prophecies coming to pass, their words corresponding to reality. How different from those who take on that moniker today. They make prophecies, but one thing they have in common, they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. So rather than listening to the super apostles and prophets, we ought to dig into the Scripture. We have to become so familiar with the truth so that when these counterfeits loom on the horizon, we can recognize them instantaneously. We are coming up to a station break. Back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. Do remember the resources that I talk about on the broadcast. More than likely you'll find on our app. You can download the CRI app. You can do that on the web, but you can find the resources on the web as well. So check it out, equip.org, and we'll be right back with more answers in just a couple of moments.
Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions like Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources. To stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in equipping Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. In
endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened." To enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. In our day, biblical literacy has plummeted to dangerous levels, such that many Christians embrace wildly distorted notions of the Scriptures, from bizarre end-time predictions centering on 4 blood moons to health and wealth theologies. The Christian Research Institute is combating biblical illiteracy with resources accessible around the globe. To help CRI's efforts in equipping Christians to become biblically literate, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks so much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next step is Carolyn. She's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Carolyn.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hi there. Oh, what a treat, Hank. I listen to you all the time. I just love it when I happen to be in the car at 5 and can turn you on. I've got 4 kids, so I'm running around. Okay, so let me tell you my question / scenario and see what your thoughts are. When this happened yesterday, I thought, you know, what would Hank say about this? So my children go to, or 2 of my 4 go to a school that is, it's a fabulous non-Christian, you know, just a wonderful academic school with no ties to any sort of a religious institution. And I was hearing a couple parents lamenting the fact that they had approved a gay and lesbian club at our school. And they just were saying, oh, we're so sad about this. And just very, I was pretty vocal and I felt pretty sure about saying, guys, why are you sad about this? We're not at a Christian school. What do you expect? kind of like wake up and smell the coffee. This is happening. Even in the South, this is happening. And then it concerned me that maybe do I have a lack of sadness for this, or am I truly correct in thinking that even in the South, we have to realize that this is where we are now as a nation?
Yeah, I love it. I love what you have just said. And I would echo those words, Carolyn, because the reality is pagans are always going to exercise their job description. They're going to be pagans. Why wouldn't they organize something like that in a secular venue? The real issue now becomes, are Christians going to exercise their job description, which is to be salt and light in a corroding culture? If we are salt and light, then these things begin to change. So the abdication of Christians to do what they were called to do results in what we have today. And as you correctly point out, we shouldn't be surprised. Nor should we yield. We should never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. Rather, we ought to say, my conscience is captive to Scripture, and to act against my conscience is neither right nor safe. This is not original with us. Obviously, this was said during the Reformation by Martin Luther, and that's true. The temptation to yield to cultural norms, as you well point out, wake up and smell the coffee, it's going to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity. And yet to yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives. This isn't a trifling matter. And I know that you recognize that, but the antidote is to do what we have been called to do. That's how you stop this menace. And it is a menace. It is going to tear apart the lives of many people because you cannot counter natural law without natural, with unnatural kinds of activities. When you do so, there's always a consequence. As I've said, it's kind of like sawing off the limb on which you're sitting. You're going to take a great fall.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm not off base then. I said to the mom, you know where I stand on this. It is, of course, it's a travesty. But why are you surprised? This is where we are. I think in the South, we're a little behind the times. And even Christians here don't recognize what's going on and the result of that. And it's going to affect all of us.
Well, it is. And you know, certainly this is very, very true with respect to what's happened with redefining marriage. That's opened Pandora's box. And quite frankly, will spell the death knell to civil society, because fairly applied, the current logic of people like President Obama, not only on what's happening with the Islamic terrorism, but also with respect to the support of gay marriage, which he now supports, would the logic that he's using would apply equally to any voluntary relationship that you can conceive of. And therefore, marriage redefinition erodes the rational basis for aberrations ranging from group marriage to polygamy to incest, and the list, of course, goes on. So we have enshrined a false definition of marriage in our law, and we ought to wake up and smell the coffee, as you say. It's very much, as I said, like flooding the economy with counterfeit money. Everything is ultimately devalued because rights come from our nature. Our nature comes from God. And if we deny that, we deny the basis of all other laws. That is precisely what we are doing.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're wonderful.
Well, you know, you said it better than I did. I was just elaborating on what you said.
Well, I'm just glad to know that Hank agrees. That gives me a whole new set of, a whole new feeling of confidence.
Bless you, Carolyn. You're
Thank
kind.
You.
Thank you so much. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Justin, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Justin.
How are you, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. I want to start off by paying you a compliment. I've been listening to you for a while. I usually catch you on my way home from work. And I come from a really deeply religious background, and the bubble that I used to participate in was just deeply religious. And it's refreshing to hear someone such as yourself who provides answers, biblical answers, that's not wrapped up in a bunch of religion where opinion comes into play so very much. And that's just refreshing to me.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. My question is, you were talking earlier about the Christmas tree and so on. That's real. That's when I got in to the track and was listening. But when I was younger, my grandfather got saved. He got saved before I was born, but he got saved. And he quit celebrating Christmas altogether. No Christmas trees. He didn't want to divert attention away from Christ. And as a young child, that was odd to me, because in our home, we did celebrate Christmas. We had the tree, the lights, and all that. Well, after I got saved and I grew up and I started getting into the Word, I started to see a parallel in the Old Testament where the people were mixing pagan religions with the religious activities that they were commanded by God to observe, and I just wondered if there was a parallel that we could draw upon now with how we celebrate Christmas and how we celebrate Easter. Are we as a culture mixing pagan religion with observances that we should have? Are we mixing those? Are we setting ourselves up for catastrophe by doing that?
Well, I think you're making, first of all, a good point, and that is that there are Christians who do not celebrate Christmas out of deep conviction, and that deep conviction centers on the paganism that has permeated the Christmas celebrations. And so in conscience, they just don't want to be involved, and I deeply respect that. There are other Christians who say, I'm not going to curse the darkness. I'm going to light a candle, as it were, or erect a Christmas tree in the midst of the gathering storm. But I'm not going to associate paganism with it. I'm going to associate it with what it originally was intended to represent. And I've pointed this out on the show before. If you look at Christmas traditions, one was a paradise tree. It was hung with apples, and it was a reminder of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And the tree of life is central to all of Scripture, because you find a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ died upon a tree of life, the cross. In essence, though, death is a symbol of life. Because on that cross, Christ reaches one hand out and touches the Edenic garden. With the other, he touches the everlasting garden, in which we see now no longer the tree of life in a singular fashion, but bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So this symbolism is very, very powerful, and Christians understood that. In a post-Christian culture, people don't understand the significance of the paradise tree or even know that a Christmas tree evolved from it. And even if they knew about the paradise tree, they wouldn't understand the significance of the paradise tree. Again, hung with apples is a reminder of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And the other was this triangular shelf that held Christmas figurines, and it was decorated by a star. In the 16th century, a long time ago, the symbols merged together into what we have today with the present Christmas tree. So there are people that simply put up a Christmas tree and they continue on their merry way, engaged in pagan trappings, and though they name the name of Christ, know nothing whatsoever about the significance or the history. There are others that are deeply aware of the significance and use the significance of every Christmas tree, whether it's one in the home or one in the middle of the city, as a way of pointing people to Christ and saying, you know, the issue at hand at Christmas is everlasting life, and Christ came in time so that we might experience everlasting life. In fact, so that we might experience the engrafted life. And there's all kinds of ways then in which you can use a Christmas tree as a tool for witness. But again, I very much respect those Christians that don't celebrate Christmas because they see the paganism associated with Christmas. They don't want to engage in it, but they want to be change agents in the culture instead. The other Christians who say, no, this is a way that I can be a change agent. I'm using the paganism and I'm using it as a springboard to communicate truth. Precisely why Christmas celebrations were instituted in the first place. It was simply picking a day that was a pagan festival and using that day as a rival celebration to not worship the gods of Rome, but the God who came in time and space.
I didn't know that about the paradise tree. I thought that the greenery had something to do with the pagan aspect of it.
No, and there are a lot of misconceptions. I've written about that with respect to both Easter and Christmas. There are a lot of misconceptions. A lot of people associate Easter with Ishtar as opposed to the true origins of the Easter celebrations and even the etymology of the word Easter. So, yeah, I mean, we live in a time in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on, and that's why it requires good research and not just spouting information that's not, again, rooted in credible research. That's why we have the Christian Research Institute. We do credible research.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much, Hank.
Hey, you got it. You can hear from the music. I'm flat out of time for this week's editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, praying for the people in San Bernardino, California. We'll be back Monday with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. This Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, why not help others to continue receiving biblical truth in Christ through the Bible Answer Man broadcast? To make a Christmas gift that can transform lives, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With the new atheists increasing their mockery of Christianity and militant secularism ridiculing religious convictions of all stripes, we clearly don't need zealous but misguided Christians inviting further abuse by misreading and misrepresenting biblical prophecies. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will enable you to understand, remember, and communicate biblical prophecy. Moreover, your investment in Prophetic Stars through the Christian Research Institute will equip and encourage eager Christian brothers and sisters who genuinely yearn for truth and reliable tools to apprehend and defend their faith. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are passionately focused on the ABCs. That's apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults, including world religions such as Islam. Make no mistake, there is a rising tide of militant secularism and anti-Christian thinking. Christians worldwide need to be equipped with ABC resources, for if we lose the war on these fronts, our children and grandchildren could inherit the horrors of history that are the absolute antithesis of the meaning of this Christmas season. Reflecting on the genocide that took place under Soviet communism, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this happened."
to enable CRI to equip Christians worldwide with vital ABC resources, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.